We are up to Shmuel Aleph, Perek Dalet, as we continue here with Shmuel Hanavi coming onto the scene. In the last Perek, Hashem talks to him for the first time, wakes him up in the middle of the night. Finally, Shmuel realizes that Hashem is talking to him, and Hashem forecasts to him what's going to happen to the house of Eli, and the curse will be fulfilled. Eli forces the information out of Shmuel. Shmuel tells him, and Eli accepts what's going to happen. And this parak, we have the fulfillment of that terrible curse. Hashem keeps appearing to Shmuel. Devar Shmuel call Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael go out to fight the Plishtim. The Navi tells us, and at the war, even though the Plishtim are scared, they're scared of Am Yisrael, but Am Yisrael is defeated soundly. At the beginning, there's only 4,000 Jews that are killed, but after they go back and they try to regroup and think, what should we do? They decide, you know what, let's take the Aron. Not a good idea. Take the Aron out to the battlefield. They take the Aron out, and Chafni Upinchas, the sons of Eli, take the Aron out. They say they blow shofar, trua, and the Plishtim, again, as we mentioned, are very scared. Oyvei, what's going to be? The shofar, they heard about Yericho, they heard about Mitzrayim, and yet they are able to be mechazik themselves and kill 30,000 fighters of Am Yisrael, and the Aron is taking, the two children of Eli are killed, Chafni Upinchas, and they are soundly defeated. What happens at the end of the parak? An Ish Binyamin, who Chazal tell us was Shaul. Shaul runs back to Shiloh and lets everybody know what happened. He's wearing sackcloth, he's wearing ripped clothing. He tells Eli that the Am Yisrael have been defeated, his children were killed, and the Aron was taken. Eli is in such shock that he falls backwards, and being 98 years old, he is somewhat delicate, he breaks his neck, and he dies on the spot. The Navi finishes off the parak and tells us that the wife of Pinchas, Eli's daughter-in-law, was in such pain, she had been pregnant, she went into labor, based on the fact she just heard that her husband and her father-in-law and the Ara and everything was taken. She has a baby, and as she's dying in the childbirth, she names the baby E. Kavod. Lack of kavod. Am Yisrael have lost their kavod because the Aron has been taken. And that is how the parak ends. The Plishtim having the Aron again, something unthinkable, as we saw in the last parak. Something that Hashem says to Shmuel, this hodaah, this announcement, will be titzilena. Remember in parak Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, kol shamo titzilena shtei oznav. Whoever hears what's going to happen, his ears will be ringing. This is what happened. The Aron was taken. Who could have believed it? Am Yisrael, who came out of Mitzrayim, who got the Torah, who came into Eretz Yisrael, who spent 14 years, 7 years of conquering the 31 kings, and 7 years of splitting up, and now they've been living in the land. Shiloh has been up for 369 years. 369 years! Who thought it was invincible? They thought it was invincible. They thought nothing was going to occur. And finally, in this parak, it all comes to an abrupt end. That's it, and no more is the Mishkan or the Aron in Shiloh. That is this Perek, Perek Dalet in Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Okay, so here we go. Let's go back to the beginning of the Perek. Vayidvar Shmuel l'kol Yisrael. Shmuel's word is to all of Am Yisrael. Unusual, the Perek starts off with, these are the words of Shmuel to Am Yisrael, and then it goes into the war. Is there a connection between the first half of the Pasuk and the second half of the Pasuk? So the Radak has an unbelievable suggestion. The Radak says, they asked Shmuel, are we supposed to go and fight? And Shmuel says, yes, even though he knew they were going to lose. But Shmuel just got the nevuah, just got the prophecy of what's going to happen, and therefore this was his duty. That's what it says. Devar Shmuel, what was Shmuel's devar to Am Yisrael? Vayetze Yisrael, legras plishtim. They go out to the plishtim. Says the Radak, lomar tziva osam latzeis badvar Hashem v'yatzu. V'tziva osam latzeis ulehina geif lifnei plishtim. Right, this was a punishment. And the question that is asked is, well, wouldn't they not trust Shmuel anymore? Shmuel is this proof that he's a Navi Sheker. He told them to go out and to fight. The answer is no. He never said they were going to win. He said to go out. He said, this is what Hashem wants from you. Hashem wants you to go out and fight. But Hashem also wants you to lose. Right? This is part of Chafni Upinchas' sins and all of Am Yisrael not being screaming at them and removing them from their post. But that's why he wasn't going to be proven to be a Navi Sheker, because they never said they were going to win. That's the Rinas Yitzchak Sa'ara. V'lo Shayach She'echashu Asal L'Navi Sheker, Kivin Shlo Hivticham She'yatzlichu. A Navi Sheker is only if something good is going to happen, the Navi forecasts it, and it doesn't happen. Here he never said anything good was going to happen. He just said they should go out and fight the war against the Plishtim. Other Mefarshim say no. The Ralbag here says that, no, they didn't ask. They didn't ask Shmuel. They didn't ask the Rambam Tumim. They just went out because they wanted to defeat the Plishtim. So what happens? Vayetzi Yisrael agras Plishtim al Chama. Vayachanu al Ha'Evan Ha'Ezer. They encamped on Evan Ha'Ezer, which is named for a future event, which didn't happen yet. Chazal point that out. The Plishtim were in a fake. And the Plishtim spread out, and the Milchama spread out. And as we said, first Am Yisrael is defeated, 4,000 men die. And they go back to regroup. Why is it? Why were we defeated? So amazingly, in earlier stories, we had the end of Sefer Shoftim, when all of the Shvatim were fighting Binyamin, and they went out and Binyamin beat them the first time. They said, why are we being defeated? What did they do? They did tshuva. They lost again, they did more tshuva. Until finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they figure out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after they're doing tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, okay, now you're going to win the next day. Here, what happened? They go back and they say, why did we lose? They didn't do any tshuva. They said, let's figure out a different strategy. Let's take the Aron. What are they taking the Aron for? Nikcha Eleinu Mishilo Es Aron Bris Hashem. Let's go take the Aron. V'yavo b'kirbeinu. Hashem will come amongst us. V'yoshienu mekaveveinu. Hashem will help us. The Malbim has a very sharp line. Says the Malbim, they took the Aron. The point of the Aron is not it, but what's in it. And therefore, they think there's some type of segula, some type of secret weapon, that if you bring the Aron, which is a concretization of the Hashras HaShchina, you know, that's going to help you? If you don't follow the Torah, the Luchos, which are in the Aron, it's not going to help. So says the Malbim, Ki Brisa Aron Eino Tachlis La'atzmo, Rak Bavur Yishperu Es HaKasuv Bo. You have to keep what's in it. And therefore, even though they took the Aron, it did not help, and of course it led to tragedy. That is the Malbim's point. And again, they should have looked inside. They should have not looked externally to try to look for a new strategy, but to do tshuva. That is what was needed. So what happened in Pasuk Dalet? Vayishlach Ha'am Shilo. They sent to Shilo by Yisu Misham Es Aron Bris Hashem Tzvaos. Hashem Tzvakos, Yoshev HaKruvim, they take the Aron, Visham, Shnei B'nei Eli, and B'nei Eli were there, as if to say, not explicitly, but it sounds like Hophni and Pinchas were the ones that brought the Aron. They were the sons of the Kohen Gadol. They brought the Aron, and they were on their way, and they were the ones that were killed and captured along the way. I saw another discussion in the Rinas Yitzchak. We know, usually the Aron is carried by four people. Four Levim carry the Aron. That is the this description in Parshas Bamidbar. And also, right, the four Levim. And here there's only two Kohanim carrying the Aron. Right, so what's going on here? Why are there two Kohanim? You could say, okay, they're doing something wrong, just like they did a lot of other Chatoim. But it could be, he suggests, based on the Briska Rav that we've mentioned in past Shiurim. The Griz writes in the end of his Sefer on the Rambam, there are a couple of pages of letters in the back. So there he writes, there are two halachos of carrying the Aron. There's carrying the Aron in the Midbar when the Aron is not something special. It is special, but all the Kalim of the Mishkan had to be carried. Right? Gershon, Kasa, Merari had to carry the boards and the menorah and the Shulchan and all of the halachas. There, number one, it's a mitzvah on Levium. And there are specific halachos, like four Levium are needed to carry the Aron. But once we weren't traveling anymore, there was no more mitzvah of the carrying of the Mishkan from place to place. After they came to the base of Mikdash, they haven't carried anything in 369 years. So there's no din of the Nesias Kalim, but there's a special din of Nesias Aron. And Nesias Aron is different than Nesia of all the other Kalim, and that can even be with Kohanim. Remember, Kohanim were doing it here, not Levium. Chafi and Pentecost were Kohanim. And it could even be with two. Remember, it wasn't heavy, the Aron carried itself. But suggest the Rinas Yitzchak, that's why there were only two carrying here, and not the four. V'kivan shalo nasu ha'aron midin avodas masa, shafer lohutzrucho l'arba, v'chafni u'pinchas l'chud nasu oso. So that's what happened here as the tragedy starts to unfold. They bring the Aron with the luchos, pashtus, inside, and they bring it out to the battlefield, and they go out and they start blowing shofar. They don't start blowing shofar in an act of tshuva. That's not their focus here. They're blowing shofar because maybe they heard about by the story of Yericho that the Jews blew shofar there, but that was in an act of listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listening to Yeshua. Here they're just blowing shofar to try to scare, and therefore it wasn't going to work. The Radak here discusses which Aron was taken out here. What do you mean, which Aron? There is a machlokes. The Yerushalmi in Masechah Shkalim in Perek Vav quotes a machlokes. How many Arons were there? One or two? Meaning the Gemara tells us that there was an Aron that had the Luchos in it and the Shivrei Luchos. The first and second Luchos were in the Aron. There's a machlokes. There was also a Sefer Torah there, written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Where was that Torah? Inside the Aron, on a shelf right outside the Aron? Was it in a separate Aron? So that is a machlokas, a discussion in the Yerushalmi. Tanya of Yehuda ben Lakish Omer. Beis Aronos, hayu mahalchin am Yisrael b'midbar. There were two, says the with this opinion. Echad shayisa Torah nesuna besocho, ve'echad shayu shivrei luchos nesuna besocho. One with the Torah and one with the shivrei luchos. The broken luchos were there. The one that was in the Ol Moed had the Torah and the second Luchos. According to the second opinion, two Arons, according to this opinion. One with the Luchos and one that went in and out with them. According to that opinion, it could be that this Aron that they took out wasn't the one with the Luchos in it. Says the Radak, I don't think so, because how is this Aron described? Which Aron was taken? The one with Aron Bris Hashem, Vayisos Aron Bris Hashem, Tzvakos Yoshev HaKruvim. The one with there's only one with Kruvim on top of it, as is described in Parshas Truma. And that was the real bona fide Aron with the Luchos inside. So the Radak assumes, and this is the Parshas, it was the real Aron that was taken. Rashi and the Ramban also have a machlokes. How many Arons were there? Around the beginning of Perek Yud in Dvarim, Rashi quotes that there were two Arons, like that opinion. And the Ramban argues, the Ramban says, he quotes the Yerushalmi Shkalim, he says, Aval Divrei Yachid Heim. Right, because of Rashi, Lozeo Aron Sha'asi Yibutzalel, Shalonis Asku B'mishkan, Al Achriyam Ekipurim. Right, there were two Arons, that's Rashi. And right, he quotes, Ramban doesn't like that pshat. Either way, it's a Machlokas Amorayim, this Machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban. Okay, we continue. So the real Aron is taken out to the battlefield. And what happens? They start blowing shofar, and the Plishtim are originally scared. Pasuk Zion, an amazing Pasuk. They're scared. Remember, it hasn't been too long. Well, it depends, how many years it was since Shimshon. The Plishtim still remember Shimshon. Shimshon killed more on his last day of his life than he did his whole life. Many, many thousands of Plishtim were killed by Shimshon. So Plishtim were scared of Am Yisrael. And all of a sudden they hear them blowing shofar. So what happens in Pasuk Zion? What do they say? Oy lanu, ki lo haisa kazos esmo shel shom. Woe to us. Oy lanu, ki mi yatzilenu miyad ho'elohim ho'adirim ho'ela. Who's going to save us from all these amazing, big, great gods, the Plishtim say. Elohim ho'elohim ha'makim es mitzrayim b'chol makam b'midbar. These are the gods that hit the Egyptians. We're scared. Rashi quotes that it could be, though, that each of these phrases are being said by different groups of Plishtim. The first one with the Tzadikim, who's going to save us? And the second one is saying, oh, these are the gods that acted in Egypt, meaning in Egypt they had power, but they don't have power now. Don't worry about it. We could conquer them. We could do this. Chazal say each of these phrases might have been uttered by a different group amongst the Plishtim. Either way, Yitchazku, they strengthen themselves, and they go, and they fight, and Am Yisrael loses, as we said before, 30,000 soldiers were killed in that battle. Va'aron Elokim Nilkach. And the Aron was taken, Ushnei B'nei Eli Mesu, Chafni Upinchas, and the B'nei Eli died. Let's talk about this for a moment, the Churban of Shiloh. If you look in the Psukim, the Psukim in Tehillim describe that Shiloh was destroyed. And that's a question. Was Shiloh destroyed? The Psukim never describe a destruction, a physical destruction of Shiloh. All we have here is that the Aron was taken and people died. But what about the rest of the Mishkan that was set up in Shiloh? Unclear. We know it was no longer used. We'll talk about this soon, but no longer was the Mishkan in Shiloh after 369 years. It was they built the Mizbeach in Nov, but it was no longer in Shiloh. But if you look at the Pesukim in Tehillim, Perek Ayin Ches, Pasuk Samach, Vayitosh Mishkan Shiloh, Hashem left the Mishkan of Shiloh, Ohel Shikain Ba'adam, in Ohel, that he had placed his presence with man, Vayitain L'Shvi Uzo, his oaths, meaning the Aaron was taken as a captive, V'tifarto B'yatzar, V'yasker L'cherev Amo, he gave over his nation to the sword, U'v'nachlaso Isavar, and he had fights with the Nachla. So again, David HaMelech is bemoaning what happened in Shiloh. But again, it doesn't use the Lashon of Churban. But if you look in the Kinos, on Tisha B'Av, Rav Soloveitchik points this out, among others, Shiloh is described as a Churban, as a destruction. Again, maybe not physically, but halachically, it was a destruction. It was a destruction. And the fact that this was the center of Am Yisrael for many hundreds of years, and it was no longer in use, that itself, says Rav Soloveitchik in the Sefer, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. Beautiful. It's a great Sefer to learn on Tisha B'Av, one of the only few Sfarim that you can learn on Tisha B'Av. So he writes, the first Churban was Churban Shiloh, not Churban Bayis Rishon. Shiloh was destroyed first. And since Tisha B'Av is the Yom HaChurban, we mention this Churban too, along with the other Churbanos, right? We mention all Jewish tragedies that happened in history. We talk about the Crusades on Tisha B'Av. We talk about other elements on Tisha B'Av. We talk about the Asara Haruge Malchus on Tisha B'Av. But all of them are related to Tisha B'Av. The Maritz Chayis asks a very important kasha. Maritz Chayis in Meseches Megillah on... Let me just find it. Where's the Maritz Chayim? Maritz Chayim HaZegildav Tezayin asks, why was it, obviously it was sad that many people were killed. That was terrible. But why do we mourn Shiloh? After all, right, we know, Rashi tells us, remember when Binyamin and Yosef were crying on each other's shoulders? Right, they were crying for Shiloh. Binyamin was crying for Shiloh because, you know, he saw that Shiloh was in Yosef's Nachla and it was going to be destroyed. And Yosef was crying for Binyamin because he saw the Batei Mikdash destroyed. We were supposed to have a Beis HaMikdash anyway, right? So what was so bad? This was the next step, getting to the Beis HaMikdash. Ask the Maritz Chayis, Eini Yodea Mahaya Lo Livkos. Why was Binyamin crying that the Shiloh was going to be destroyed? Harei Alpia Torah Haya Asid Lecharev. V'ikar Mitzvah HaTorah SheYivne HaMikdash SheYerushalayim. U'miyad KeSheYivne HaMikdash SheYel LeShiloh Din Bama. This was the ultimate plan, to go to Yerushalayim. Right, so what was the sadness? Obviously, people were killed and it was terrible. But why the sadness that Binyamin cried and even David HaMelech? So suggests the Rav Soloveitchik, and also if you look in the Mishpat Zozov, a couple of other Rav Achronim, an unbelievable idea, amazing idea. You have to look at the evidence. He says it could be that if we wouldn't have sinned, Shiloh would have become the Beis HaMikdash. Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah where the place would be. It just says the place that I'm going to show you. Yes, Hara Maria was a special place, you have to say, in that history. Right? Noah, right? The Akedah happened there, and Noah built the Mizbeach there. There was a lot of history on Hara Maria. But if Bnei Yisrael would have been Zoche, then Shiloh would have been the Beis HaMikdash. The destruction of Shiloh was actually one of the greatest destructions that took place in Eretz Yisrael. I'm reading the words of Rav Soloveitchik now. The destruction was so significant that during Bayis Sheni, they still remembered it. The Beis HaMikdash in Shiloh, where Eli was the Kohen Gadol and Shmuel received an inspiration the first time, would have been selected as the Beis HaBechira, not Yerushalayim. But the sin of the children of Eli was responsible for the complete rejection of Shiloh and the designation of another place in its stead. An unbelievable idea. Remember, it never says the word Yerushalayim in the Torah. The first time it mentions Yerushalayim, Yoshua, Perek Yud. That's it. But where was it going to be? There were Ramazim, Yireh and Shalem. But, says the Rav Soloveitchik, and says if you look at the other Achronim in the Mishpat Zozov, also suggests that this could have turned out to be the ultimate place, but obviously it wasn't meant to be. We sinned, and it was brought to the Plishtim, and eventually, obviously, to Yerushalayim. So that's the Churban Shiloh. Okay, let's continue now. Getting a lot more there, but let's continue. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayaratz ish binyamin mehama aracha. A man from Binyamin runs away from the battlefield, and he runs to Shiloh with his begadim ripped and dirt on his head as a sign of mourning. There's an amazing chazal. Rashi quotes it here. This was Shaul, right, from Binyamin. And what was Shaul bringing with him? Rashi quotes, Shechataf es haluchos miyad golias ubarachlo. Goliath. The first time we're going to see Goliath, we're going to meet Goliath in a little bit later when we get to David and Melech, when he fells Goliath. But says Chazal, Goliath, he was the main man in the Plishtim. And he had the Aron. Shaul went and fought Goliath and got the Luchos out of the Aron and ran back with the Luchos. Unbelievable. That's what the Rashi quotes in the name of Chazal. Imagine the Mesiris Nefesh that this took. He took on this giant, and this puts a whole new perspective, if you can think about it, in terms of later on when we're going to meet Shaul as king, and all of a sudden he's scared of Goliath. And he has to wait for David to come onto the scene. What changed? What changed? Here he ran, and he got the Luchos, and he did it, Mesiris Nefesh, while 30,000 Jews were being killed, and yet, later on he has trouble. Good question. The Radak says, it's very far-fetched to say that, this is definitely not the pshat, but he just says it's far-fetched. He says it's rachok. Rachoku, to assume that, not only the Mesiris Nefesh against Goliath, but to assume that Shaul would have opened the Aron and taken the Luchos out and ran away with them. Would anybody do that? So you might say, yes, if the Aron's going to be taken, at least get the Luchos out. You can't carry the whole Aron yourself. But the Radak notes that it is somewhat far-fetched, but either way, this suggestion by Chazal. Interestingly, if you look in this could even be alluded to. The Achronim say that if you look in Bereishis in the pasuk by Binyamin Ze'ev Yitzrof, maybe this is another deeper Binyamin Ze'ev Yitzrof. Binyamin described as a grabbing wolf. What is a grabbing wolf? So we mentioned there's a machlokus Unkelix and Rashi. Unkelix says it means the karbanos that he's going to grab. Or others, we mentioned at the end of Sefer Shoftim, it means that the men of Binyamin are going to grab wives at the end of Sefer Shoftim. This is a third idea. Maybe it's referring to Shaul, who grabbed the Luchos out of the Aron and was able to make it back. So what happens? So he goes back to Shiloh, and he comes, and Eli is sitting there. Eli doesn't see him. Pasha says he was already blind by this time. He would have known what was going on. He sees his clothing is ripped. He has dirt on his head. And what happens? Eli is sitting there on a chair, waiting to hear what's going on. He was 98 years old when he died right here. Shmuel takes over now. Shmuel's 41. Shmuel's 41. He's going to rule for a number of years. He's going to live till 52. He's going to be the ruler for 11 years. Eli, this parak is the transfer of Eli to Shmuel, and it's also the transfer of Shiloh to Nov. We know halachically in the world of Karbanos, there are five or six stages of history in terms of the laws of Karbanos. The first stage of history was pre-Mishkan. At that time, you could build a Mizbeach wherever you wanted. The times of the Avos, build a Mishkan wherever you wanted. That was stage number one. Stage number two, once the Mishkan was built, so then the Mishkan is the center and no Karbanos elsewhere. They cross the Yarden and come to Gilgal, Bamos or Mutter. They come to Shiloh, Usser. 369 years, everything's Usser again. Shiloh is destroyed. I forgot to mention just one point that Rav Soloveitchik mentioned. Shiloh is unique in that it had stone walls. It had a roof like the Mishkan, curtains, but the walls were stone. So it had elements of a Beis HaMikdash to it. It had the permanence. And that's why it was a little bit of a Mishkan, a little bit of an Oel, a little bit of a bias, little of both. That's why it could have maybe turned into the Beis HaMikdash. But either way, getting back to our issue. Once Shiloh was destroyed, so then for the next couple of years, they built a Mizbeach in Nov and Givon. During that time, Mizbechos, you were allowed to build a Mizbeach in Abama wherever you wanted, until finally Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, and then after that point, there was no longer any heter to bring Karbanos anywhere. So, Eli is sitting there, and he's about to obviously die, and the Mavaser comes and tells him, little by little, doesn't want to shock him. So he tells him the least, what he knows would shock him the least until the most. So first he says, there's been a terrible Magefa. Many Jews have died. Okay, he can handle that. His two sons have died. He can handle that. The Aron was taken. Eli can't handle that. He cannot handle that. When he mentions that, he falls backwards, he breaks his neck, and he died after 40 years of being the Kohen Gadol. At that moment, the pasuk describes the daughter-in-law as having a baby, and as she's dying, the Medrash talks about there were three people in Tanakh that died as they had a baby. Three people in Tanakh that died, they had a baby. This is one of them. The mother of Ikavot, Eshes Pinchas. Who else? Rachel Imenu is the most famous one. Rachel dies as she's having Binyamin, and also Michal, David's wife, the daughter of Shaul, also dies in childbirth. What's amazing, the Achronim point out, is that what does this woman name her baby? She just lost her father-in-law. She just lost her husband. But she's focusing on the national calamity. E-kavod. The lack of kavod that Am Yisrael have right now, that's what she's focusing on. That's what she wants everybody to remember. E-kavod. That's what she is focused on at this time. And the maidservants, the yoldos, and the chayos, the midwives, are trying to calm her down. Al tiri ki ben yolanta, don't worry, you had a son. How does that help her? They're trying to say that she's going to live. Why? The Mitzudas David quotes, that the Gemara says in Mesechta Shabbos, that if somebody from one's family dies, then everybody in the family has to be worried. Midas Hadin is stretched out on this family. But the Yerushalmi says at the end of Moed Katan, if there's a son that is born to that family, the whole family within 12 months, the whole family has a nechama. Whole family gets a nechama. So that's what they're telling her. They're telling her, you just lost your husband, you're having a baby boy. This tremendous nechama. That's what they're telling her. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea. In Shin Sadi Dalad, that Yerushalmi, Shin Sadi Dalad Sif Dalad. So that's what they're telling her. Obviously, she doesn't take any nechama, so she names the child Ikavod, because the Aron was taken. The Malbim has a beautiful just thought at the end of the Perek, where it's described, again, what was the tragedy? The Aron was taken, and Eli, and sons were taken. Says the Malbim, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. The Aron symbolizes Torah Shebichsav, and Eli, his sons, the family, that symbolizes the leaders, they were faulty, the sons, but it symbolizes Torah Shebal Peh. That was what was lost here. The Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebal Peh of Am Yisrael, Vatomer, and as this woman dies, she says, Galak Kavod mi Yisrael, the covenant has been lost, ki nilkach Aron ha'elokim, because the Aron has been taken. Just to end off with the Nefesh HaChayim. What do you mean the Aron was taken? Yes, the Aron was taken, but according to Chazal, there was no Luchos in there anyway. Right, so what was so bad? So the Aron was taken, but Shaul took the Luchos. The answer is, says the Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Dalet Perek Lamed, whenever anybody is involved in Torah, Torah has an effect. When somebody does a mitzvah, it affects them, but only while they're doing the mitzvah. If somebody learns Torah, that affects them forever. They're a changed person, even inanimate objects. That's the idea of Geniza, Tashmishei Kedusha, Mezuzah, Tfilin bag. That all has to be buried. Why? Because once Torah touches something, it has Kedusha. The Aron still had Tashmishei Kedusha. It was still a tragedy, even if the Luchos weren't inside. Because the effect of Torah, even on inanimate objects, is something that we always have to remember, tells us Nefesh HaChayim, Shar Dalet, Perek Lamed. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll have to start getting into the life of Am Yisrael without the Aron in the next Perek.